Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka. Today is Monday, November 25th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The television station known statewide as Channel 2 will stay on the air in Sitka and Juneau through December 6th, while the station and GCI Cable continue to negotiate carriage terms. Channel 2 is the Anchorage NBC affiliate KTUU, seen in Sitka on KSCT and in Juneau on KATH. It was expected KTUU News would be taken off the Southeast stations last Friday night if a deal was not reached. Now, both companies say substantial progress toward a long-term agreement has been made, with the deadline extended to December 6th. The two sides have been negotiating KTUU's carriage on cable throughout the state since September. On November 8th, GCI pulled KTUU off cable in 21 rural Alaska communities from Barrow to Skagway. Brad Hilwig is KTUU Marketing Director.
We've heard from folks in rural Alaska, as likely I'm sure GCI has, who are upset about this, who want their programming back, who really just want to have access to a local news source that they've watched for years and years.
Hilwig says the rural issue is back on the table as the companies look for a comprehensive agreement.
The two sides are reporting substantial progress in talks on an overall agreement that would resolve issues in rural Alaska, Southeast Alaska, and Anchorage for an extended period of time.
KATH and KSCT television stations have been purchased by GCI. The Federal Communications Commission last month approved the license transfer to the cable company. At the time, GCI said Sitka and Juneau viewers would not see any changes in the short term. But Channel 2 was still negotiating to keep its news on the stations. If a long-term agreement is not reached, GCI Corporate Services Vice President David Morris says only the Channel 2 news would be pulled from the Southeast stations. He says the financial terms of carrying KTUU on the statewide cable has been one of the main sticking points.
One of the sticking points also that we have is they're wanting an exclusive arrangement to be the only NBC provider everywhere in Alaska outside of Juneau and Fairbanks.
If the two sides can reach a comprehensive agreement, Channel 2 News would remain on the Southeast stations, and about 7,000 rural cable subscribers would once again receive Channel 2 News and NBC programming. The dispute over rural television coverage started over 14 months ago when GCI began negotiating for the purchase of the two NBC stations in Southeast and one CBS station in Anchorage. At least one individual deeply involved in that transaction is surprised that GCI and KTUU are struggling to reach a deal.
It was so simple, we thought. Just send check.
That's Dan Edelain, the Sitka businessman who founded KATH-TV in Juneau and KSCT-TV in Sitka, and who sold both to GCI on November 1st of this year. While Edelain is content to be on the sidelines of this particular contest, he's still in the middle making television. He owns one other Anchorage television station, and in Sitka, he's seldom seen without a video camera, providing 24-hour content for the local public access channel. KCAW's Robert Woolsey met recently with Edelain and sent this profile.
Although his empire is smaller, he may be the closest thing we have in Southeast Alaska to our own Rupert Murdoch. But Dan Edelain isn't in the news. He's too busy making it. Selling the two stations is his version of scaling back.
My primary interest is community TV. Actually, NBC here is basically a translator of our Juneau station, just repeated. And so I didn't have very much to do with it. Also, we can always pay off a few bills and so on. My wife has moved to Bellingham, and I go see her about three or four times a year.
That would be Kathy Edelain, the former director of the Sitka campus of the University of Alaska Southeast, KATHY, Edelain's inspiration for KATH-TV in Juneau. But I digress.
And so it was a matter of convenience. And I still own the station in Anchorage and spending a lot of time making trips to Anchorage.
And the Anchorage station that you own is
it's which? The call letters are KACN, and it's a very small independent station.
And when Edelain is not taking care of his remaining television station, he's filming meetings, concerts, school programs, just about anything, and putting it up round the clock on cable channel 11 in Sitka, something he's done for the last 16 years. But even back then, Edelin was no newcomer to media. He first bought the now-defunct KIFW-TV in 1983.
So I started TV, what, 30 years ago.
And this was your second career.
Yes. I came to Sitka to be the first full-time dean of students at Sheldon Jackson College.
And that would have been in like 1974?
71.
71.
Yeah.
And also, 31 years ago, Dan Edelin became a founding member of the board of KCAW-FM, Sitka's public radio station, a seat which he still holds. Throughout our conversation, Edelin never mentions the R word.
I'm not interested in retirement. I like what I do. It's not only a job, but it's a kind of a fun thing to do. It's my hobby.
Rupert Murdoch should be so lucky. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Sitka Tribe of Alaska appointed Alan Bell interim general manager. Tribal chairman Michael Baines announced Bell's appointment last week and expressed confidence in the leadership and stability Bell will bring to the tribe. Bell acted as general manager once before in his 2 years serving the tribe. He has also served as staff attorney. The tribal council will hold a special council meeting to appoint a new general manager on December 11th at the Sheetcoquan Nakahiti. The Sitka District Court has fined Silver Bay Seafood $16,000 for tendering what state troopers estimate to be over 3,000 pounds of undersized tanner crab earlier this year. The judgment was signed by Magistrate Leonard Devaney last Wednesday. In February, Alaska Trooper Tim Hall discovered the unlawful commercial tanner crab while monitoring the offload of a vessel, the Grace C, at Silver Bay Seafoods. Out of 1,200 crab that Hall measured, 10% were found undersized and seized, the majority donated to the Pioneer's Home and a portion retained for evidence. According to court records, Burt McKay operated the Grace C for Silver Bay. McKay says that three Silver Bay employees were on board pitching crab and taking measurements using 5.5 Loomis crab gauges. Hall also interviewed Eric Anderson, the new fleet manager for Silver Bay Seafoods. Anderson claimed responsibility for buying and tendering operations. He says he found undersized crab but released them. The crew was in a hurry because other boats were waiting to offload, so they were mostly concerned with pitching crab. Based on the price per pound of tanner crab and the amount of illegal crab on the vessel, Hall estimates the vessel contained over $8,000 worth of illegal crab. The court fined Silver Bay Seafood $16,000 with $8,000 suspended. The court also ordered the seafood processor pay restitution to the State of Alaska Departments of Public Safety and Fish and Game. The Coast Guard is asking local boat owners to check their vessels after a spate of sinkings this fall. The fishing vessel Skeeter was hauled out of the water Friday morning after it sank at its mooring in Eliason Harbor in early November. It is one of five boats that have gone down in area harbors since August, according to Chief Warrant Officer Michael Wortman of the Coast Guard's Marine Safety Detachment. Wortman says he's worried he's seeing a trend.
Seems to be higher than normal, and the more I talk to people, the fleet is getting older, and people leave for long periods of time and don't take care of the boats, and the people they're hiring to watch the boat aren't very well trained, so there's things that we do need to address.
The Coast Guard does not yet know what caused the Skeeter to sink, but Wortman says he suspects that local boat owners are not maintaining their bilge systems, which pump water out of vessels.
Definitely highly encourage all the owners in the area to check their bilge systems, make sure the pumps are working properly, the batteries are in good condition, connections are good, because with all the rain around here, your boat can go down pretty quickly.
After it sank, the Skeeter was turned over to the harbor master, who worked with the Coast Guard to tow the boat across Sitka Channel and haul it out of the water at Japonsky Island for disposal. Petersburg mayor is pleased with last week's court decision in favor of the state's latest redistricting plan. The legislative boundary map will put Petersburg in a district with Sitka and 22 other small southeast communities, including Kuprinoff, Cake, Angoon, Craig, Kaufman Cove, Port Protection, and Point Baker. Petersburg is in a district with Juneau under the interim plan that's currently in place. Mayor Mark Jensen said the new map makes more sense.
I just think we're more alike than we are with downtown Juneau. I think they're more of a, you know, we're more of a working town, fishing town, and they're more of a government type run city. So I think there's differences. Not that I have any bad things to say about the representation we had with after redistricting happened from Dennis Egan and Beth Gertula, but I just think we're more on the even grounds, having the smaller communities in with us.
The Alaska Redistricting Board's latest plan got approval from Superior Court Judge Michael McConaughey. The Associated Press reports that two of the plaintiffs who challenged that map do not plan to appeal the decision. The Petersburg Borough Assembly this summer voted to back the new configuration, which was the result of a Supreme Court ruling. That's after the municipality joined the lawsuit against the interim plan, which put Petersburg with Juneau. That interim map will still be in place for the upcoming legislative session, meaning Petersburg will continue to be represented by Juneau Democrats Beth Kurtula in the House and Dennis Egan in the Senate. Ultimately, Jensen thinks the new district gives Petersburg a better chance of securing state funding for projects.
Instead of trying to get funding competing with bigger municipalities, but, you know, as all of us know, that the funding is going to be harder to come by anyway with the condition of the state's finances.
Assuming no other parties to the redistricting lawsuit appeal the judge's decision, Petersburg and Krupanoff voters will be deciding on representation for the new district for the state primary next August. Sitka Democratic State Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins plans to run for the new Sitka-Petersburg House District. Petersburg resident and Republican Stephen Samuelson plans to challenge him for that seat. Petersburg's new House District is 35. It is paired with the Ketchikan-Wrangell House District to make up Senate District R. Sitka Republican Bert Stedman does not have to run for re-election in 2014 and will represent the new Southeast Senate District, including Petersburg, in 2015. That's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 47 degrees in downtown Sitka and overcast. Rain is in the forecast throughout our listening region today. Have a good morning.